Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lake.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Shalom.
Shalom.
I'm Ashley.
I'm Mother Carol.
And we are the hosts of tonight's show.
Welcome.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sound check, please. Bless you. Shalom and blessings, everyone. If you've missed me, I'm back. If you didn't, I usually host this show weekly. And for the past 5 weeks, I've been in purification, 6 weeks maybe. I got Mother Carol with me. Blessings to Mother Jennifer. She's got the night off. Thank you so much, Mother Jennifer, for every week and every show. Thank you, Elder Rufus, for even chiming in when you did. Sound check. Give me some tins if you hear me. Yep. Hallelujah. Thank you, Kyresha, Jasmine, and Georgia. Jasmine in Georgia, both in Georgia. Granny Diane, all those that you got to hear or see. Hallelujah. I pray you enjoyed the visuals. And to the NFL stars that became servants, that was a really good video, right?
Very good interview. Very good.
And to every one of you listening, thank you so much. To the Classy Cocktails and Conversations, hallelujah. My son is with us tonight. You might hear a little peep from him in the background. Give him a few weeks, let him get a little older, okay? Have some mercy on him. Mother Carol is to my side. Bless you. Welcome, Mother Carol. Hallelujah. We're empty, ain't we?
Yes, we are, definitely.
We're empty. Bless you to all the communities. Mother Carol, please, let's get a sound check on your voice. Say mic. Say shalom to everyone.
Hallelujah. Shalom, everyone. Thanks for having me, Sister Ashley, and we are definitely glad to have you back. Thank you, Mother Jennifer, for all the shows that you did by yourself and including others and your master with you, and just appreciate you very much. And back to you, Sister Ashley.
Back to me. Hey, check this out. Everybody who's listening to Straightway Help Me, Tis the Country. It's been a while since we ran it down. USA and Canada, even out in Alaska, Australia, Mexico, Dominican Republic, and Brazil, Nigeria, Uganda, Kenya, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, India, China, Kyrgyzstan. How'd I do? South Korea, Japan, Philippines, New Zealand, Russia, Norway, Finland, Sweden, Estonia, Latvia, Germany, France, Spain, Hungary, and Mother?
Czech Republic. Hallelujah.
How long did you live in the Czech Republic?
I didn't live there, but I got to visit.
You visited?
Got to visit.
You don't got family over there, do you, Mother?
Oh, gosh. My sister was born in Germany, but we no family there. I hope not.
I call you Mother, but... Mother, you've been a mother to me before you ever were given a title by your husband and by the ministry. Bless you. Thank you for your love. You actually know my mother, my biological mother, right?
Yes.
That's come to my mind twice to say that. Just for the record, my biological mother and mother were friends.
Very close friends, in fact.
Talk about it just for a moment. Anything that comes to heart, whichever way you want to go.
I will say this. Your mother was a person that was very closed up to most people, had a lot of acquaintances, but not many friends. And when we met, we did hit it off as friends. And in turn, that brought you in.
Yes.
And that could have been Yah's plan all along, was to, you know, he'll use one to get another, to get the serious one. So one in a city, two in a family. But then when he brought you, you became my friend.
Hallelujah.
And your mother became not my friend.
You saw her recently.
I did.
Yeah, you told me weeks later. What was it like?
Very awkward, but I think I wanted to actually see her to say some things, because true friends don't just leave.
Yes.
Don't just believe everything that they hear. They at least contact you to say what's going on, or just because they don't like the way a movement or the ministry was going, then you up and leave. And if nothing else, your friend could have pulled you back in if you would have opened up. So it was an awkward situation, but I think very necessary.
My intention tonight is to interview Mother and to just pick her mind. Maybe you'll hear some things that you've never heard before. That's always the hope. But at the same time, maybe you'll hear words that have been repeated. Oftentimes we need to hear repeated words to let them sink in. So Mother Carol, she has some things that she's just written down, reflections. She's a Bible woman and a studying woman. Hallelujah. And she's always got the word on her lips. So let's jump into the shalom, everybody, by the way, those that are giving them blessings and their hallelujahs and excited about having beloved Mother Carol. Shalom, Sister Constance. Enjoy your days. Sister in the chat room says, I wish I'd met you years ago, Mother Carol. Hallelujah. Maybe Mother Carol has probably had a great impact in your life. If you've never even spoke to her, greeted her, hugged her, or shook her hand, she still has the power of the Most High with her and the convicting Ruach inside of her that can change your life for sure, just even seeing her. I appreciate that about you, Mother. So did you know any women ahead of you, older than you, mothers of a church perhaps, anyone to teach you and help you?
Actually, I can honestly say as a whole, no, but I do have a few people that were somewhat influential. When Mother Stallings came, who was Granny Gaston's mother, she didn't know exactly the Hebrew way, but she was an aged woman that had been in holiness for a long time, so I learned a lot and absorbed a lot from her. Mother Bullock, on a small note, because she came more towards the after we had already learned who we were. So she told me that she had to learn from me. And I would say my grandmother, who wasn't a holy woman, you know, she attended church, but she wasn't what we know now as a holy woman, but just really taught me morals and values. But the women that I did have association with that were in the faith, the women that were pastors' wives and leaders' wives, really put nothing in me. They didn't have time, or either they just didn't have anything, but they just weren't those that would teach anyone. They wouldn't help the younger ones coming up behind them in any form or fashion. That's the ones that ran communities, and their wives are the ones that I'm speaking about. Brother Stair's wife put nothing in me. She wouldn't even speak to me hardly. So, and I know that she had a lot that she was dealing with and going on. And at that time, we were moving towards deliverance. I could have actually helped her, but she didn't open up enough to even allow that to take place. So, because she was quite a few years older than me. So, but actually, that's about it, Ashley. Pretty much, almost none.
You know, I said before, when we opened up, I said we're empty, right? And you were like,
yes.
I know they can't see your face and your smile, but we're really empty. We didn't plan any of this, did we?
No, absolutely not.
Just so y'all know,
nothing planned.
We tried. We know we're gonna hit the button and we're gonna talk like we always talk. We've prayed together. We've had years of going separate ways. You know, I'm doing one thing, she's doing another. Here comes Granny Diane. Grandma Barb's here tonight. Give a big hallelujah from our audience.
Hallelujah!
Oh, it was weak. We got to do it again. One, two, three.
Hallelujah!
Yes, we must have unity. Hallelujah. I got to get back in the saddle, you know. I'm a little late on introducing my audience, but I'm not going to tell them myself. So, yes, we're empty and we had nothing planned, truly. Do you remember the one word you said right before when the music started of the show? Like, what you guys hear, we hear too on my end. So when you hear South Carolina singing and you hear, like, Shalaya singing, Sister to Sister, our intro, I said to you about the women who were in front of you or the church women that you had experience with, because none of us were around at a time.
Right.
What were they like? Do you remember the one word that you said?
I actually said they were masculine. They were masculine. I had to learn what I've learned, and I will say this. I am only who I am, if anything, in Yah, because of my husband, my pastor, and my master. He's taught me how to be a woman of Israel, so I can't really attribute much to any women, but I can attribute everything to his teaching and his leading and his guiding. And I don't mean in a sit me down and Carol, here's this and here's that and here's this. He taught me in more ways. He taught me through his actions. He taught me through conversations. He taught me through the word. He taught me through our lifestyle and through us growing up together how to be and how Yah wanted me to be for him.
Hallelujah. So he's fasted to a lot of us, and, you know, being a shepherd makes him in a relationship role in everyone's life who calls him shepherd.
Yes.
And being in a relationship with your shepherd means you're going to either, you're going to hear him. You're going to, even at times, fight to believe what he's saying past your own internal voices inside of you. You're going to face fears, and he's going to love you more than you hate yourself, that whole dynamic. But we're talking to a woman who is able to say, as only few women are, he's my pastor, but he's my husband.
Absolutely.
And any of us who are married know that you have a connection and a soul tie with your husband, that you would feel his sorrow, and you would feel his joy, and you would feel his pain, and you would have emotions to deal with, relationship to build, this bond for how many years?
We've been together.
Y'all both stopped counting, we know.
Yeah, but we stopped counting. We've been together since 1983. So
1983.
Next year it'll be like 40 years we've been together.
And what a roller coaster ride, huh?
Absolutely.
Through the ministry,
absolutely.
I mean,
we've definitely grown. We were children when we met, so we've definitely grown up together. So we just can gel without even having to say a word.
I see you as someone who is not bound, and really that's the next angle that we can edify, if I can say, edify everyone listening with our conversation tonight. You've brought up the word bondage a few times as we just sat here before the show. So let's go that way, Mother. Let's just chit-chat.
Okay.
So I would call myself a very free. I'm talking from the inside, my sisters who are listening. I'm very, very free. And I know what bondage is like. I also know the areas that still bind me. And it takes, you know, diligence, fighting, praying, letting go. It takes a lot. I see you as someone who is free. And I want you to talk to everyone about how to get there. Pause, though. Because, why? We're a part of a ministry that has, you know, Shabbat message on Shabbat and Pastor Corey bringing up the rear on Shabbat. And then we got Fifth Day Blog Talk with Sister Ashley. We got Lion's Den coming on. We got a blog talk with Pastor Dow. We got Brother Michael Israel. We got Elder Mitch. We got a lot to eat. We really do. So how would someone fight for the freedom that you have and sort through all the truth that we hear with where to start?
One, first on bondage, I'm going to say that everyone to some small level probably deals with some sort of a bondage. Some people might consider it their thorn. Some people might consider it just something that they're dealing with, battling, or going through. But in that, the key to it is not walking in and not giving into the bondage that you are in, because bondage comes in so many different areas and so many different ways and manifests sometimes in your flesh and sometimes not. So I think people are taking on so much. I know, I will say this, I heard a lot of when people hear a pastor preach and he preaches on a specific spirit, I hear a lot of taking on that spirit and giving into that spirit because of lack of knowing your own self. And, oh, I think I have that spirit of bondage, or can you work with me on this? You just heard the word bondage, and automatically you assume that, okay, I've got all this, and this. When your heart already knows what you deal with and what you have, and instead of plowing at that before it comes to the manifestation of the word, knowing what's in your own self, you absorb every spirit that you hear and you take it on as yourself. Pastor is laying out the guidelines of what you need to be looking for. And I know that we have a lot of new saints that aren't familiar with deliverance. In the beginning with deliverance, we had no knowledge. We had no understanding. We were casting out demons just with our zeal for wanting to be free. We didn't know about breaking curses. We didn't know about ancestral curses. We didn't know how to command things off of us at that time. We weren't real familiar with binding and loosening when we first started. So when now, as it, we come, what, 20, almost 30 years later, you all have a great advantage, greater than what we had, because you have the knowledge. You have the understanding. You have people teaching you. You have people that allow you to sit with them. You have counselors. You have all of these things. So there really is no reason to, I don't understand what I have. I don't, oh, this bondage that I have, or is this bondage, or what is this? You should have enough arsenal to be able to seek some of these things out. But, you know, what we have is lazy spirits that don't want to seek it out, don't want to search it out. Now, I say that not in a fleshly way, but I say it spiritually because you don't want to deal with the things that are taking place within your own heart. You don't want to confess those things that are truly there.
Fix me now.
Fix me now. I want it in the microwave. I just want it gone, but I don't want to have to do anything. I don't want to have to deal with my own heart concerning it. I don't want to have to deal with that pain and that pressure of remembering. I don't want to have to relive anything. I don't want to have to admit that I might be this or that. Or we'll admit the the brokenheartedness and the wounded spirit and everybody's done something to me. We admit that all day long, but you don't admit the jealousies, the envies, the bitternesses, the hardness, the hypocrisy, the sarcasm that you have towards your sisters. You don't admit those things, and that's what keeps a lot of times women bound. I'm going to even give you this. I'm going to tell you what happens at a community, and then I will stop and let you talk.
Okay.
A spirit will bind you into truly thinking that you are so busy, that you have so much to do, that you are so overworked, and that is quite the contrary. There's people out in the world that do more than some. You understand what I'm saying? So that even can be a bondage of your own mind and your own opinion of yourself is a bondage. If you feel like you're doing all of these things, this bondage will lead to those spirits because bondage is attached. Bondage is the reason why you have these other spirits in some cases. And I do remember Pastor said something on Shabbat. He said, any behavior that you don't have mastered over is evidence that you have a spirit of bondage and it is at work. And if y'all remember him saying that, so that we know behaviors are bondage, so we don't relate it to that. So your behavior or your mannerism could be a bondage for your family, the ones that live around you. If you have a haughty, sarcastic response to everything that is said, you don't consider that a bondage, but it really is. It's a bondage to you, and you can't stop it. You can't stop it. Everything that's said, you have a comeback. You have something to say. So these are the kind of bondages that I think need to be dealt with the daughters of Zion in Israel, because it's not those outward things that we see and take place. Sister Ashley?
Wonderful. All right, well, we just got a show because I literally got a ton of questions now based off of that right there. Okay?
Okay.
Give a shout-out to your friend, Wenda.
Come on now. Oh, my precious sister,
she's
Wenda.
She's in the chat room.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Bless
I love sister my sister. Wenda.
Yes, and this I know. All right, so you mentioned a couple phrases I got them in my mind. Giving into it.
Yes.
What is that, giving into it?
Well, not fighting. If you're not fighting, you're giving into it. You're just laying down and letting it consume you. That to me goes all with the battle that you have in your mind. And so many everybody has thoughts, but what you do about them and what you give into, like let me give you an example. If a particular spirit is mentioned, a lot of times people give into that spirit, take it on as their own, assume it's them, and then they start to walk and manifest in that spirit. Because if I don't accept this spirit, I'm what am I going to have if I don't have something to battle? Well, you don't have to battle. Life does not
right.
have to be that way. It can't. You can have peace. You can be able to control the situations in your mind that come through situations, because situations is what makes our mind have situations. Am I making sense?
Absolutely.
So you can control those things that come to your mind through situations and not give in to them, not give in to the spirit that says, or whatever that spirit tells you. That's not you, and we've learned that that's not us. So why do we allow it to function in our mind when we wouldn't allow someone to do something to us after the flesh? Why do we allow something to enter into our mind that it's foreign? Ashley?
You said, Pastor said, if you don't have mastery over a spirit, then it's bondage. So what is having mastery over a spirit when it does exist and you are recognizing it, noticing it, finding it, et cetera? What is having mastery over a spirit?
Well, he said having master over a behavior, if you haven't mastered a particular behavior. So that's the things that you have to really acknowledge in changing. If you know you are this way, and you have, like, no sense of control, you've not mastered it. But to master it, you have to first recognize that it's there, recognize that it's in you.
Hate it,
despise it. If you like your hypocrisy, why would you get rid of it? But
and,
if,
and why would Yah show it to you?
Exactly.
It is you.
He shows it to you because he wants you to rid yourself of it so that you don't stand before him with it,
mm-hmm.
because then you're filthy and he can't see you. And you better pray that he sees you through his veil of blood, which should be prayed for all the time. But not mastering that behavior or not changing that behavior, first is recognizing it, recognizing that you have it. And like you said, second is hating it, hating that garment spotted by the flesh. So then after that, then you're able to hopefully recognize it every time it comes, every time it happens. And after you do that so much, you've submitted yourself to Yah, you resist the devil or resist that spirit in your mind, and then it will flee. But it's not going to flee from one time that you did it. But you have to do it every time. You have to be like the woman of importunity and keep plowing. Keep plowing. I know that's a situation where you're asking the Father for something, but this is a situation where you're rejecting something. So you may have to constantly reject that thing, reject that behavior, until that behavior is so foreign to you that you won't receive it, that you won't allow it to manifest, and then it will flee.
That's enough for a show, isn't it? Couldn't we end it, audience?
We really could. Look, they're all tuned in.
Oh, my goodness. Everybody say thank you, Cheyenne.
Thank you, Cheyenne.
Everybody say thank you, Cheyenne. We're there.
Thank you,
we're locked in. I'm learning techniques like Pastor, you know. He picks you up and then throws you down. So why are we saying thank you, Cheyenne? Because she's holding my six-week-old baby pacing the tabernacle. I can see her now. See mother right there.
Oh, beautiful.
And helping us out tonight. Hallelujah. So
he's a beautiful
mother.
Baby,
thank
too.
Thank you so much.
Beautiful.
Praise Yah for life. Okay. Maybe a Shabbat message is your answer. Maybe it is. Mother's not saying it isn't. Meaning, you say plow.
Mm-hmm.
You gave examples of early years where we had to, you know, really dig in. You know, we didn't have the books or the information, didn't have all the messages and preachers, didn't have the internet. And so studying was different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And your foundation of studying is not different. I'm meaning as a whole.
Yes.
Right. So going to Google and searching a variety of Bibles is not the way we studied. I'm just giving that for example. And no, I don't know any of you who do that. So don't think I threw a dart, really. I don't have a clue how you study. But set apart time with Yah is so priceless. So we're sitting in the, I'm going to do a hypothetical, okay? We're sitting in the service, pastor's preaching. Maybe you just got an answer. How to respond appropriately to that answer. Because you just gave me an example that, sister, you just, like, you haven't plowed against it. You're giving into it almost like, oh, I got that, and I got that, and I got that. So let's go the other way. Let's go with, it is an answer. It is some direction. But let's also talk about the waiting or the sorting through or the how to hear or the how to study.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Can you go there?
Yes. First of all, if you hear a certain spirit and you've been asking the Father, Father, what is this particular thing? Because sometimes it isn't as clear as certain spirits. You know, unforgiveness, it's clear. Bitterness, it's usually clear. But there's a certain spirit that may not be as clear, and Satan has designed it that way. So on those, if you do hear a spirit that is manifested that, okay, that's what I've been seeking about. Then you go back and you do your repentance. You do your acknowledgments. You do talk to the Father about it. Go through all of that. Sometimes it may not even be something that you have to get deliverance from. Just your confession of it sometimes will free you. Then if that be not the case, because it depends on what it is, then you can move forward and prepare yourself, prepare your heart through fasting, prepare your mind through denouncing, through repentance in prayer, and then move forward to get your deliverance. But you do need to have your due diligence done before you sit in the chair. Because if you haven't done your repentance, if you've not given any thought to this spirit that you've been harboring, you're making it, well, how can I say, harder for the person that has to do deliverance with you to have to plow through all of your ignorance before they can even get to what you're really trying to say. And I don't mean the ignorance in a bad way. We know that that's not a derogatory word. That just means you have a lack of knowledge.
Right. And so what comes to mind is
if you are manifesting, and we use that word in this deliverance ministry, like maybe you're crying or shaking or your hand or your foot or something is strange, your neck, your back, you got all this going on, maybe that's time for deliverance because something just got exposed.
Yes.
We don't want to take away the option of deliverance by sharing this foundation. Like this is, you go back and you do these things,
yes,
right?
Absolutely. No, if a lot of times if that spirit manifests right then, it was ready to come out.
Right.
So we'll work on it. Get some help. Get it out. Get it out.
All right. Well, I'm going to go to a music break. We'll be right back. If you got some questions, you can type them in the chat room. This is your mother. You don't get to hear her voice enough. You don't. Hallelujah. But just know she's praying for you. Truly. All right. Be right back. Mother Carol, we're going to jump back into hearing and how to hear. But we got a question first, so we'll see how the chat room rolls. The question is, can you listen to, as a single sister, are you able to watch all the leaders' YouTube channels and listen to them? Or does she need to only watch the leader that is covering her? If you're new tonight and you hear the word covering, covering is a word that we use as a form of protection over the women in the ministry, those who are, you know, under direction, I can say. So she's under the direction or the leader in a specific area, and she's wanting to know, is it okay? Can I watch them all?
You can watch whatever you want. Anything coming out of this ministry is going to be beneficial, edifying to your soul and spirit. Just don't get overwhelmed with trying to make sure that you dot every I, cross every T as far as listening to every single thing and not, and then forsaking your praying and your personal study. You, if you can do it and you can master all of it and listen to everything, I say bless your heart. We have so much coming out of this ministry that everyone should be not just satisfied but full. But just as far single or however, that really kind of is not beneficial. I mean, it doesn't really matter whether you're married or not. If you're married and your husband leads you to listen to certain teachings or things like that, of course you are under his covering. If you are not under a specific head as far as a husband, listen to where you feel led. Listen to the leaders that you're able to grasp from. If it's all of them, then bless your heart. Do it all. But like I said, just don't forsake your time of prayer, your time of study. But you have enough to go back through and be fed by in this ministry every day, every day.
Absolutely. Next question. I also have a question. She says, I know we fast for many different reasons, but can you please speak on fasting pertaining to deliverance, when it may be required to get full freedom? I'll give a short answer. You fast when you need an answer that you don't have, and you fast when you want to get free and you're not. That's in a simple form. At the same time, your fast doesn't mean you're going to get your answer either immediately or on time or on your time. So we also have to perfect waiting and not knowing. As a father and creator, it's his responsibility to bring you answers. Don't forget that.
Absolutely.
That's just part of the covenant. So we can't just run, get weary, and think that all the responsibility lies on us. So back to the question for you, Mother. When is it a proper time to fast pertaining to deliverance? What is required to get that full? When it may be, I should say, when fasting is required to get full freedom? Can you speak on that fast pertaining
okay.
to deliverance?
Okay, you said full freedom in this question, my sister. So to me, that represents that maybe there is a particular spirit that if you're dealing with it and you've gotten deliverance from it before, and you may just not feel completely whole from that, you know, getting deliverance. You may still have some manifestations of that spirit. That would be a case or an instance where I would probably go on a fast for more clarification from the Most High. Maybe it's something that needs to be revealed to you as something you may not have covered. So for a sister that is dealing with something that is maybe prolonged, her deliverance is taking more than just one time or something like that to that nature, then that might be a good time to go on a fast, seek the Father, and then, you know, seek for full deliverance, as you say.
Personally, and I'm just speaking for myself, early on, I had so many spirits, I didn't have to fast to make them manifest.
Right.
And we can't forget that. So depending on where you're at in your stage of learning and growth and how long you've been around, things like that, fasting is required and that changes. Your fasting requirements change. But initially, if you're within, I don't want to put a time limit on it, but I'm going to have to just for clarity of speech. You know, if you're within your first 3 years, you just need deliverance. You know, you really do. I'm not going to remove the fact that you may need to fast. It's not black or white, but you need freedom, and you got a lot going on, and it's difficult to get through all your thoughts in your mind and communicate to you when that mind is louder.
Yes.
Yes, it's the truth. Your mind is louder than the person in front of you. Your mind is louder than the voice that's talking to you, and it's going to confuse their words, and it's going to misrepresent their words, or it's just going to have a lot of offense or rejection. That's a really immature mind. Anything?
And also, during a fast, it's a good idea to go through and do a lot of denouncing and renouncing of things pertaining to the spirit that you want, that you're fasting about getting rid of. Let's say it is a spirit of bondage, whatever bondage that it is. Let's say it's an addiction to something. Pastor mentioned the cell phones and computers and things, which was so prevalent for this day and time. So let's say that you have a hard time really just putting down some of those things, or you're so bound to it. Doing the fasting and doing some of the renouncing and denouncing of these things. Maybe there's some ancestral addictions that may have taken place in your ancestry. So that's a good time to do a lot of soul searching and denouncing of those things. And I'm off of that. But on another note, when Pastor had mentioned some of the bondages that we have, because some of these objects that we have are used, I don't want to say necessary, but in our society, if you have a business and you get notifications through your phone, you feel like, okay, I have to have this. You understand what I mean? So it's Satan uses these things, I think, sometimes to bind.
Absolutely.
But, you know, there was a time when it wasn't always, and I'm not negating it because I get notifications for my business as well, so I'm not saying that that's not it. I'm just saying something that is necessary, or even food. Food is necessary for life, but it can be a bondage. You know, you have to eat eventually to stay alive and keep your body healthy. However, you can overindulge and continue in that way and have a glutton spirit. So these things, you know, Satan will use, well, this is necessary for life, so you have to have this or you have to do this. But just be able to channel. Pastor gives us a great example of the ice cream. Ice cream is not beneficial for life, but it is a food. So, you know, these kinds of things, just don't let Satan trick your mind into thinking that there's something that is beneficial that you have to have. And even in your thoughts and your behavior, don't give in to Satan's ploy of anything that you have to have, because you only need Yah and the people around you to, you know, be able to perfect yourself. I hope I'm making myself clear,
clear
as far as bondages.
It's clear to me. I don't know what, you know, who you talk to or what you may talk to them about, and I appreciate your integrity, and I keep my own so we don't expose each other, right, and the sisters who trust us. But did you know, I had to say that first, did you know that there is a spirit or a voice out there that's trying to stop people from manifesting?
No, I didn't know.
Sounds like a devil, don't it?
Absolutely.
Sounds like a devil.
What way would it talk to a person to try to stop them?
It says, well, Mother Carol don't manifest like that.
Wow. Everybody manifests
differently. Or when Mother's helping someone with deliverance, that doesn't happen.
No, I haven't heard that.
So talk to us.
Every spirit takes on the person that they're in. So
there's a little bit of you in there.
There's a little bit of you in there.
And it's true.
Absolutely. And with as much deliverance as we got, people are going to manifest differently. And as many times as we have worked with souls. So, no, that's the first time I've ever heard that. But the comparison is not, that shouldn't be. You shouldn't compare your deliverance with anyone else's. You should be focused on getting free your own self, getting your relationship with the Father more close and more intimate. So it almost, you want people to watch and learn deliverance, but sometimes hearing things like that, it's kind of like, okay, maybe they shouldn't. You understand what
right.
I mean? But be individual with your relationship with Yah. Be individual with your deliverance. It's a good idea to keep your eyes closed, if that be the case, so that you don't see whatever anybody else has going on and you can focus on your own self. I will say this. For those that live halfway across the world that don't have this whole onslaught of helpers to help them. They're grateful for every little grasp of deliverance that they can get, anything that they can learn from that, because they don't have the onslaught here to be able to watch, to be able to learn from, to be able to assist with, to be able to get deliverance from. So keep your deliverance individual. Let Yah manifest to you what you have going on within your own self, and then your spirit reflects your deliverance. You might have the quietest person that manifests loudly with screams, with shouts, with a man voice, with profanity, cursing, and then you might have the opposite, a person that's just very vocal, very loud, that manifests very quietly, that may only shake. So the demon is going to manifest different in this person than it does that person, because it takes on a different nature. It takes on a nature of whatever they're trying to do within that person. So don't compare.
Hallelujah. It can dwell in your vocal cords. It can dwell in your muscles. It
Absolutely.
Can dwell in your nerves. It can dwell in your mind.
Absolutely.
You know, so depending on where it hides, too, you got to take all that into account. But here's the thing. When confusion is present, like, I don't know what spirit it is. I don't know what to study. You know, any form of confusion that presents itself to you and your walk, I don't know if this is Yah or not. I don't know if Yah is telling me this, or I don't know if this is a spirit. You know, just wait. What I mean is, don't allow it to be an extra burden. It's one thing to have a weight on your mind of the battle and not knowing your answer or your freedom or which way to go. But then it's another to have the confusion present and then you're battling it at the same time. Does that make sense? It
makes perfect sense to me.
All right. Anything to add?
Ask the Father.
Yes.
If you are confused as to what a particular thing is, he wants you to seek him for everything. He knows all. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, and there's no way he would not reveal it to you in some form or way. Be patient and wait on Yah to reveal it to you, or talk with someone that is a trusted counselor, possibly, that may be able to help you in a specific area. I don't really recommend sometimes people saying, well, you have that spirit or that spirit or that spirit, because I have seen people take on a spirit because someone told them that they have it. So I don't really condone that, but if you have a trusted person that you know is very knowledgeable in deliverance, you could go to them. But a lot of times you can just go to the Most High, ask him, Father, I'm a little bit confused on this nature that I have within me. I'm confused with this confusion that I have about, could it be this spirit or that spirit? And allow him, then just stop and be quiet and allow him to minister to you what it is, instead of just rolling on and getting confused in your mind.
Right. You don't have to say, you know, Sister Joe told me so-and-so and I'm confused. You just say, I was told, you know,
right.
Meaning like take the finger pointing out of
Absolutely.
The prayer.
Absolutely.
And just say, I was told this and I'm confused.
Right.
I was told I have the Holy Spirit and I don't know if I do. You know, I know that happens as those of us who are, I don't know, consider yourself as a counselor too, how weighty it is and how fearful it is to misguide someone and tell them the wrong information. And that can take weeks or even months to try to get that false information out of them. Everything is not to the book. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I think the best advice is always to go back to the Father.
Absolutely.
Go to the Father.
Ask your husband if you have a husband that is knowledgeable and he knows you better than anyone. Ask your husband, you know, sir, this is what I'm dealing with, or I have some confusion in my mind. You know, what say you on certain things? You know, and to those of you that are not married, you can always trust in an elder or someone, but going to the Father is always, should be one of your first areas.
Absolutely. I'll teach y'all what, you know, I know all of our minds are different as we strive for one mind, but I'll teach you, if I can use the word trick, I'll teach you a mental trick that I've used for many years that has helped me really soar in freedom. And that mental trick is I eliminate the reaction and I find the reason. So you see this about yourself, but you find the root. You don't attack the symptom. You really, like, dive into the why, mm-hmm. you know, the mm-hmm. deep why, so that you're not, as you said even earlier, like, giving into it, you know, because it can get even more confusing as you just tap away at the same thing, but you're not connecting dots. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, I didn't even know maybe it was ancestral, right? I'm saying that hypothetically. If you don't know ancestry was an option and you've just been going after it like it's you, for example, then you wouldn't gain the freedom right. that you would by knowing the root. So mentally, if I see something, if I've known something, how I am, a behavior, a this or that or whatever, I'm going to dive very deep into the why and the how long and the what am I really mad at, mm-hmm. you know, who I really am. So hope that helps, but. Anything to
yes,
add?
And you can always, you know, we do come through our family. So on ancestral things, sometimes it's very close in your generation. Sometimes it's really far back. It never hurts to denounce things and cover it from really far back. But sometimes you can just look within your own family or your own parents or grandparents and see a nature or a character trait or a character flaw that you're operating in that you automatically see. Well, how did they get that way? Where did that come from? You know what I mean? Where did it come from in me? So, oh, I remember Aunt so-and-so did this. I hear a lot of people that have mental issues in their nature, or they're battling with spirits of insanity, spirits of schizophrenia, spirits of bipolar, things like that. And then they'll go back in their ancestry and remember that they had a family member that may have dealt with so-and-so, or dealt with some of these things. So sometimes that will give you a key to, okay, this might be ancestral, and sometimes it just starts and begins and can end with you. But that's always a good way to kind of judge. Go back and look through your family line. Just, you don't have to call them if you don't want to, but what you can do is just try to remember, ask the Father to bring certain things to your remembrance, and sometimes it will just come.
Hallelujah. Another question from the chat says, I love that Israel's heirs and children are growing up without the influence of this world that I was in for decades. All right, so I'll pause right there, and I might burst your bubble, but they're growing up with the influence of the world, actually, and it's in us. She says, I hate that there are still so many influences of the world in me. Interesting, right? That's what I'm saying. She says, I'm desperate to get rid of these influences. Any help or advice for depending more on y'all and getting rid of all that evil? I remember when Pastor said it would take 7 generations to have a pure one, and that would be if each generation after us continued in the ways of Yah. So our children are just one step forward to being better than who we were, because we still have the world in us that we put in them.
I always say that the children right now are being raised by tainted parents.
Absolutely.
We were in the world, but now we're having children that are not being raised in the world. And like you said, if that continues on, what a blessing. Maybe the third generation will be raised by holy parents
right.
that were holy from their birth on up.
Absolutely.
However, in...
We're just introducing restoration in Torah and law
absolutely.
To them so that
absolutely.
They may walk in it.
Yes.
But she's wondering, how can I get rid of these influences?
Well, remember, Pastor, I think he mentioned it in this Shabbat's message. If you love your children like you say you do, you'll plow and do whatever you have to do
absolutely.
To make yourself right and holy and
absolutely.
Righteous before your children so that they can see a good example. So let your love for your children drive you to seek the Father more. And how you get rid of this evil this way, recognize it when it comes, don't accept it, don't operate in it, change yourself, change your mind, change your behavior. Is it easier said than done? Yes, but no. You can do it. Does your will want to do it? That's where you have the problem. If you will to make sure that you are changing to a magnitude of holiness and righteousness, then it won't be hard. But if you're struggling with your own flesh and being you and losing yourself and all of these kinds of things, then it will be very difficult.
my 9-year-old and my 6-year-old are fasting now for their own dishonorable behaviors, right? Whether they saw it, heard it, or it's just in them. They weren't, you know, the pastor says when your countenance is dragging the ground and you're making potholes in our land, that's my 9-year-old and 6-year-old right now. They're hungry. They'll never eat again, so they think. But just so you know, I don't want you to think that the children are so preserved from it that it's not in them, because that's not the case. It's
correcting
just not
them all the time.
Absolutely, beyond a shadow of doubt. I spend a large majority of my time around children, and I love them enough to die for them. But they have their own fight. They really do, of things that are in them that they're going to have to love the Father enough to get out. All right, so let's talk about self-pity for a second. You mentioned what was done to me, you know, the what was done to me mind. It's easy to come into faith, hear a word that presents itself as rejection,
mm-hmm.
hear a pastor who presents himself in your mind as a rejecter, that he doesn't love you,
mm-hmm.
or that he doesn't love women, or because he's speaking tough and he's speaking straightforward, and he doesn't care about how you feel. So then you now have a brand new battle that you possibly never had before, which is it's just you and you and you alone to face this. So then the human spirit says, somebody help me. It doesn't naturally say, yeah. You have to train that.
Yes.
It says, somebody help me. When somebody doesn't help you, help me with this feeling and help me with this behavior, then in can come self-pity because nobody's helping. Nobody's helping me. Naturally, you said earlier, the busyness can make you feel like you're doing all the work in the world and there's nobody there to help you.
Absolutely.
That's a form of self-pity. Spiritually, it's I'm going through all this and nobody's helping me. So how do we fight through that? As a people, get your focus off yourself and cry out to your Father for help. How is he our help?
He has his arms stretched out to you, and spiritually. It's not a physical thing, but it's a spiritual thing to where you can receive comfort if you allow yourself to receive comfort from the Most High. But if you operate in especially a spirit like rejection, which can cause self-pity, because you only are controlled by what you allow. If you allow it to control you, to move you, to bring down your countenance, to alter and change your behavior, you're giving into that. But then you want someone to feel sorry for you, and that's when self-pity comes in. So that spirit just wants the attention of others. And then you actually can bring down their countenance. So one, I think, is loving your brothers and sisters enough to not walk in the self-pity. And a spirit like, let's say, rejection, you received rejection. You don't have to be rejected even if someone's rejecting you. It's whether you receive it or not. If someone rejects you, literally, I mean, just rejects you, you can go one or two ways. You can say, okay, that person don't like me. I'm all right. Or you can
give
go,
yourself,
oh, my goodness,
mm-hmm.
how will I ever live?
What can I do to make him her love
exactly.
me?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not healthy.
No.
That's not healthy. So you have the opportunity to receive, or you have the opportunity to reject. And however you do brings in other spirits if you don't refuse them. You have to refuse these spirits.
Absolutely. All right. We're an hour in, and I got a poem. I got an anonymous poem that might be touching to you. You know, poetry has changed throughout the years, you know. They used to rhyme. Now it doesn't have to. It doesn't have to. I need you, my sister, who is my spoken poet. I need her. She knows who she is. But I'm gonna read it anyway. I'm gonna try to do it justice. My sister behind me has read it before, too. So if I mess something up, there's a couple of people that might be able to help me.
You
want
to just get someone else to read it?
You want to read it? Anybody want to read it? Nobody wants to read
okay.
it. Back to me. Anybody want the show? Y'all want the show? Okay, back to me. I'll take it. I'll take it. It's a joke. It's a joke between me and the office. All right. This is called redemption. Yes, Sister Aya. We are so dependent of y'all, she says. Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Heidi. Hey, Sister Deira. Nanette. Nanette, bless you. Thank you, Nanette. She knows. All right. It's called redemption. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Breathe. You're okay. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Make it stop. Seize endless in its depths, like the thoughts that would tear through my sanity. Perfect. Lock away the sorrow that threatens me with death every night. Lock away the self-hatred that makes me like unto the dirt that I sweep off the kitchen floor. What you don't feel can't hurt you. Pack them up, every fear, every jab to the heart, every second you let it out to play, pack it up. Back to the depths you go, only to be fished out when the water threatens to consume you again. And bondage, the state of enslavement, shackled to the bottom, drowning. I can't breathe. I struggle. I pull on the chains. I need to swim. I can't swim. I don't know how. The pressure on my chest intensifies. It's dark. The dark thoughts and emotions threaten to consume me like a snake wrapping itself around me, its victim, waiting for its last breath to glory in its victory. I continue to pull on the chains that say insanity, and they laugh at me. They mock my endless cycle of struggle. Control. I have nothing left. I cry out one last time to the space around me with my last breath. I do this with every ounce of strength I have left. I scream, hear me. Have you left me? Everything settles around me. A voice echoes around me in a whisper. In the midst of the raging waters, it meets my ears like an arrow. I hear, let go. I can't. I'll drown. I know instinctively. No, you'll float. Let go. I hear again. I feel peace rush through me like air filling my lungs. Again, for the first time in forever. As I let go of the chains, I feel my body light feather like it is in the state lifting the chains of insanity wrapped so tightly. Before loosening around my wrists and my ankles, I no longer hear its mocking laugh. Here I go. Restoration.
Yes.
Silence as I float upwards, past the self-hatred, past the sorrow, fear, and anxiety, past the condemnation, past the death, and finally rising to the top, I pass control, letting go, I break the water's surface, taking in my very first breath like being born anew, and I continue to rise until even my feet that were once here, consumed with the waters, now stand at the top of the surface, standing there, I look out, seeing land and a large rock covering the exposed land. Unsure of its reality, I wait, becoming uncertain of the journey and the distance, feeling more and more as though if I took a step, I'd begin to drown again. Come, I hear the call to me, and I wait. Come, I hear it again. Feeling peace rush through, I began have to take a step, another and another. I'm almost there. I think I'm nearing the edge where water meets land. Fog rolls in, impairing my vision, like as though clouds were being painted across my eyes. And upon the fog was written unbelief and impatience. Unable to see the rock, I begin to run, sprinting, fear nipping at my heels. I begin to sink. The water's up to my calves. I cry out. Though I hear the rock cry out, patience, I've not left you, nor have I forgotten you. Be still. I began to walk again, leaning to the rock. The fog begins to clear. With my last step, I hit the surface of the land and I fall to my knees before the rock. Mercy. I climb to the top of the rock. Very steady, with confidence, with every step, and the pieces of my mind being restored, being put back in an even greater state, to become one for something greater, a beautiful picture, each piece labeled with love,
one piece by one piece, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, temperance, making it to the top. I look down, seeing the etchings on the top of the rock that say salvation. I kneel to whisper to the rock, who am I that you are so mindful of me, that you're my help, and you're my deliverer? And I too shall be mindful of the rock of my strength. To you forevermore do I give of everything that I am and all that I have, and I will have to give it to you. I give you my mind. Psalms 111:5. Hallelujah. Beautiful, beautiful. From a state of bondage all the way to the rock.
Hallelujah.
I thought that was very fitting for tonight.
Yes.
So we talked about some steps. Now talk about your freedom, Mother. Talk about the prize.
I think you only learn from the things that you go through in life, whether they be good or bad. There are many sacrifices that have to be made, not only naturally but spiritually, because you have to give up of yourself, give up of who you are, and become Yah's, truly giving over your whole self. And I think the thoughts are what plague people the most, because in this time we know so much. In Israel, we're fed so well, and we know how to react. We know how to respond. We know how to conduct ourselves and carry ourselves. But the one thing that no one can see is the thoughts that take place in the mind. So if I can say anything, I would say master the thoughts. Get control of the thoughts. Get to the place where you don't hear the reaction. You don't hear the response in your mind when you're corrected or when something takes place. Or because if there's nothing there, there's nothing to change your countenance, change your attitude, change your mood. If you're blank, if you're a blank slate, you're easy to be written on and you're easy to be received. So in 2nd Esdras, it tells us that your own thoughts will be your accusers in that day. So get a hold of how you think. Think like Yah. If you don't know how to think, meditate on him as much as you possibly can. That will keep you from thinking your own thoughts and doing your own ways. So control your thoughts. Get a hold of your mind so that you have an empty slate.
Hallelujah. Beautiful. Well said. Is there anything else you want to share from your notes or what you wrote down or what you've been studying? No?
I'm good. I'm empty for you.
To my international, to my sister Wenda and Brother Steve and Aya and Hannah and Sharon, bless y'all. Thank you for your faithfulness. I still would like to bring y'all live, so I'll be contacting you in the near weeks. And to everyone who was lined up in case I did have a female child. To everyone who was lined up, I would still like to have you. So wanted to communicate that. Let's play another song. Let's see if anybody types in any questions or anything hits your spirit, Mother Kara. We'll be right back. I don't know why, Sister Alex, that you and Brother Rob came to my mind when I heard this song, but we shall see if you enjoy it. I try to play songs for all of you. There's different, you know, there's different listeners, there's different genres, there's different kinds of music, so this one's a little different. Here we go.
Thank you.
That's for the Mathis family and, of course, for everyone else listening. We got another question. The question is, can you be offended at your husband, Mother Carol? I'm Sister Ashley. Thanks for tuning in. If you're this late, go back. Find us on the repeat. You missed a lot of wisdom. But I'm asking Mother Carol some questions from my heart and from yours. The chat room says, can you be offended at your husband?
You can, but I wouldn't recommend it.
Yes.
You will not. You can't. You can, but it's not healthy for you. Now, if you are with an ungodly husband, I still can't say that that is right or righteous, because as a woman of Yah, your chaste conversation coupled with fear can keep a man and keep you from being offended at him. Does that make sense? But if your husband is in the faith and you are offended, you better get your offense right and take it before the Father, because you can't make it like that. He is your representation here, and how you treat him is how you treat Yah. So if you are offended at your husband, you are offended at the Most High Yah. I'm not saying that your husband is Yah, but Yah gives us a clear example of how to deal with a man on this earth, which is your husband. So get it right, sister. I hope you overcome.
Hallelujah. And honestly, it's going to be an offense because he's not saying or doing what you want him to say or do, and that simply is a temptation to be an influencer to him, and influencing him to be someone he's not is and can be sin to you. I hope that makes sense. So when you're tempted to want him to be someone different, to say something different, or to act different, that's where the offense is going to lie, because why is he this way? Why is he that way? Why isn't he doing this? Why, you know? And then especially when you're at this ministry where we have sound men and men of the word, men studying, men praying, men leading, men preaching, men on YouTube, and you look at your man and you go, ah.
Right.
Why isn't he like that? And why isn't he like that, right? Because he's like that. He's like who he is.
He's
right?
The person that you married.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I got a baby holder coming to take my baby. Yes, he's the man you married. And so it's definitely something, like you said, to take to Yah and really, really talk to Yah about. I think a lot of the battle for women can reside in the mind, and we can have a lack of expressing it to the Father. Mm-hmm. So the battle is internally communicating like a hamster wheel, and you're not speaking it out or confessing it to the Creator. So you would want to confess the offense and confess the unforgiveness issues, and you want to be really, really
transparent. Absolutely.
No fear. Maybe it's our misrepresentation of the Father, right?
Maybe people don't think we're supposed to go to Him about everything. He already knows your offense,
right?
So
maybe
your
we're afraid
confession.
To say that.
Exactly. Your confession before Him is the first step to freedom. Confessing it, dealing with it, talking to the Most High Yah about it, putting it all out on the table with the Most High. That's your first step to freedom.
Absolutely. Yes, it's okay to say names in prayer. Do y'all know that? Yes, it's okay to say, I have a really hard time hearing your word when Pastor Dow says this, because it's my offense, not because of Pastor Dow. Right? But you're saying his name in prayer. Oh, my gosh. You know? Yes, absolutely. Say mine. It's okay. We're family. We're trying to get this right. And perhaps you just don't or haven't known how to communicate what's inside your head out of your mouth to the Creator. And then what happens? Then it all comes out of your mouth when it ought not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because Pastor also did a message about confessing one to another. I think that got misconstrued between some, because I was told that there were sisters going around telling others this is what spirit that they have, and this is this and this and this.
Like, I'm pissed at you, mother, and I need you to know about this. Like, no, actually, you tell him, but thanks.
Exactly.
Now you're walking around going, thanks. Well, now the rest of your day is heavy. I didn't even know, you know.
You understand, but use wisdom when you're even going to a confessor. Now I even lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry. Let's bring it back. So talking, you said sisters were going around or you know, misconstruing.
Well, Pastor had done a message on, you know, your confession before the Father.
Yes.
about being transparent and really coming clean before the Most High, I think it was
yes.
my train of thought.
So would the mistake be, as you say, going to someone else and confessing your faults to them? Is that the mistake that were made?
Well, if you have a situation where you're not, what he was saying was, if you have a situation where you're not experiencing the freedom just from your mere repentance that you've had and that you've done, and you still feel like this heaviness, if you have a confessor that, not a confessor like Catholic, I'm not saying that, but if you have someone that you can confide in, to go and speak with, to get kind of like the burden off of you. I think that's what he was referring to, and not just going to everybody that you see confessing, okay, I didn't like you yesterday and this and that. Not those kinds of things, but to be mature and be wise about it. But if you have a burden that is on you, that just sometimes things are released, and if, like we said, go to the Father. But if you have to go to a person, you do have people that you can do in that manner, and I think that's what he was speaking of.
I thank the Father for my silent examples of women, you know, women that are quieter and haven't talked as much as I sadly have in my lifetime, because those were the type of women, you know, Granny Diane, even Sister Tomoko, I approached her one time, because as a quiet woman, you're going to handle things differently
mm-hmm.
internally.
Yes.
And I need to know how you're doing, because I'm not doing that. I'm more in the past, you know,
mm-hmm.
I was more verbal. So I'm going to someone who maybe, you know, is going to the Father differently, internalizing differently. And I'm going to ask them, you know, how do you process this? How do you refrain? You know, I'm going to someone who's opposite, but I thank the Father. That's all. Just putting a plug in for those who are, you know, who were helpers in my faith, you know, people who were here before me that I saw something in them. When you come around saints and you're living around saints and you're in a fellowship, what you've always taught, Mother, is that you should always be able to say something good about everyone.
Absolutely.
And I truly can with those that are at this community. And initially, I needed help with myself, and each person played a part of that. You know, each person here played a part of that. But I'm thankful for the silent women, and we do have them, though few, but we do.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Anything to add?
Well, you do want to make sure that, you know, because sometimes some people's silence, some introverts that
Absolutely.
Don't really speak out have riots and storms brewing within them. So, you know, sometimes
no
that is the case too,
that.
But they are able to handle the outward. But just make sure that if you are that type of a person, that the inward is not raging. It's
right.
not a raging bear.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Absolutely. That suppression that can be very
Absolutely.
Dangerous, even for your body. Hey, no questions. I hope that means that you guys really enjoyed it and that you got something from it. Bless you, Sister Rosa, and your husband's house. Everyone who's listening, thank y'all so much. I'm back. I'll be here weekly unless I travel to Goshen or travel to Georgia or travel to South Carolina or to, you know. It's a little joke. You got to know me. I'm talking to my audience. Hey, audience, say shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom. All right. Has anybody got a song they want to sing?
No.
No? Yeah, baby. Come on. Mother, you, this is for the part.
Let's trust one another.
Yay.
Tear down your walls.
Come on, hit it.
Renew your mind.
Then everybody knows the words.
Right. That's all you hear.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Friendship held together by love.
All right. Tonight you heard. Hallelujah. Here goes. I should have cut it off.
Every day. Tribal mentality.
All right, time out. That was a good show. Gotta stop it right where it's at. Thank y'all so much for tuning in tonight. Mother Carol, in the show, say some kind words.
Hallelujah.
always giving praise and honor to the Most High Yah. I thank you for having me, Sister Ashley, and for all those who were able to listen, acknowledging the man of Yah, Yah serving in this age, Pastor Dow, all the leaders, all the teachers in this ministry, all those that are helping us in our walk with the Most High. To all those that are overseas, I know it's a little bit more difficult for you. You have to listen by internet and by the means of technology that we have, but just know that you are not forgotten. The Sister Ayas in Finland and the Sister Carries in Australia, all of you, sisters, Brother Steve and Sister Wenda, all of you are so loved and not forgotten. And just know that you have we have you in our hearts and minds and pray for you often. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Mother.
Thank you for
all right,
having
hit
me.
That shofar or any ending you desire.